Well, if you have been with us these last three Sundays, we have been following those on the road to Bethlehem. Last week, we discovered the wise men as they made their way to Bethlehem. And today, we're going to be looking at the shepherds on the road to Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, they had 90 miles to go from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. The wise men had around 900 miles to go. Took them a while to get there. The shepherds had the shortest trip. They were just out in the country around surrounding Bethlehem, so they just had to make their way into town on this road to Bethlehem. I'm going to start reading the scriptures from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Father, today we come in your presence on this Christmas Eve, the day that before the day we celebrate the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Father, as we re-examine the shepherds and that experience of them seeing the angels and going to see the baby, God, light our hearts with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. On the road to Bethlehem, the shepherds came. Notice as we look in these verses, they experienced an angelic announcement. Verses 8 through 14. The shepherds were abiding in their fields. In other words, they were camped out with the sheep in the fields. Now, Bible scholars seem to agree that these shepherds abiding in their fields probably occurred earlier than the year of December. Now, I'm not preaching heresy here at all, but Christ might not have been born on December 25th. So let's not get all bent out of shape about the date. It probably happened earlier when it was a little warmer to be out in the fields. But the early church, around the 3rd or 4th century, decided to choose the date December 25th. Because it was a pagan Roman holiday, and they didn't want anything to do with that, so they chose this as a date to celebrate the birth of Christ. The fact of God becoming man was the big deal, not exactly what day it was. Why in the world did the angels choose to give this announcement to shepherds? Why not the scholars? Why not the scribes? Why not those that were the Pharisees inside of Jerusalem? Well, I think there's two reasons, or at least I'm thinking that. First, shepherds were common people. As a matter of fact, they were considered by the people that were in Jerusalem and those areas as being unclean because they were living out there with the sheep and they couldn't go to church very often because they were ceremonially unclean. And shepherds were kind of like despised. I mean, they were better than tax collectors, but they were kind of a low class in the opinions of, but God chose because he loves the common people. That's one reason. And the other reason is, shepherds, being a shepherd, fits the mission of Jesus, doesn't it? The Bible says the Messiah came to be the good shepherd in John 10. Also, he was called the Lamb of God in John chapter 1. And we are called sheep, aren't we? As the Lord addresses us. And also, due to the proximity of Bethlehem, 5 or 6 miles away, of Bethlehem to Jerusalem, where the temple was, some scholars have suggested that the shepherds may have been caring for the lambs that were destined for sacrifice during the time of Passover. So they appeared to shepherds. Now the angel came in verse 9, proclaiming the birth. It says in verse 9, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them." Now, we don't know who this was. It could have been Gabriel, because Gabriel seems to be very prevalent in getting the message to people. Gabriel appeared to Mary. "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." What is this glory of the Lord? I believe it is the Shekinah glory that was revealed in the Old Testament several times. And it was a brilliant display, a light, a holy light that the shepherds saw. And because of this light and because of this angel that was there, they were greatly afraid. For the first time in centuries, the glory of God returned to earth. Now, these shepherds were not wimpy people. I mean, they had weapons on them. They had a rod, they had a staff, and they needed that to ward off robbers and thieves and wolves and bears or anything that was going to steal the sheep. They were brave people, but if they were afraid, this was something truly unusual. They were greatly afraid. So the angel said to these shepherds, who were probably laying on the ground, flat with terror, with the bright light of the angel around them, the angel said, "Fear not. Fear not." You know, that's a very prevalent Christmas message, because we're told that the angel told Zacharias to fear not. Fear not, shepherds. Fear not Mary, and fear not Joseph, because all of these characters in the Christmas story were told to fear not. This is the wonderful message that heaven is sending the earth. Fear not. What are you afraid of? What's going on in your life that's bringing terror in you, or upsetness or consternation? Well, the Christmas message is fear not. God's got this. He's the one that is proclaiming peace on this earth. That's a wonderful, there's a lot of two-word sermons in the Christmas story. Fear not, good tidings, great joy, all people. Now, the angel said to these shepherds, "I'm bringing you good news of great joy to all people." Have you heard any good news lately? Your Social Security is getting a percent increase. Also, your copay is going up too, so it might not be that good news. Maybe you had good news that a grandbaby was born, or probably some of you would be great grandbabies being born. Maybe that's good news. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe your kids graduated or grandkids graduated or some other good news. But you know, another good news is it wasn't cancer or it wasn't something else that happened in your life physically. We all have periods of time when we get individually good news. But you know what the angel says? This good news is for all people on the earth. It never happened before. The good news was to all people. And what was that? The Savior is born in the city of David. This world is a very needy place, and problems and tragedies are all around. We're surrounded with people that are going through war. Some people are hungry. Some people are homeless. Some people have got diseases. But man's greatest problem is not these. Man's greatest problem is the fact that he is a sinner. The good news He needs a Savior. I like Christmas cards. And usually my wife and I are tonight, we're going to look at all those Christmas cards that you put in my mailbox, box number one up there. And we go through them. And every year, I think I get one that has this poem in it. And I love it. It's my favorite Christmas card. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. That's exactly what that angel was telling. I have good news of great joy, which to be all people, a Savior is born. And then he talked about a sign, and this shall be a sign. Now, these shepherds were told by the angel what to look for. You're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, and the babe is going to be laid in a manger. Now, imagine these shepherds were very familiar with the little town of Bethlehem. It's not a big city. It's probably a one-stop light. Well, no, it wouldn't be a stoplight, but it would be similar to a one-stop light city because there was very few people, and they probably knew where all the mangers were, and they didn't have a lot. Okay, there's a manger there. No baby there, just a couple donkeys. There's another manger there. No, no. This has got to have a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. So they went, and it didn't take them long to find the babe that was wrapped in swaddling cloths with his mother and with Joseph there. That was the sign. And then as they got that message, the angel was terrifying enough. After the angel was done speaking, the whole sky lit up with the heavenly host. You know what a heavenly host is? It's a whole bunch of angels. That's what it is. And the angels were saying something. Now, most likely they were choir. Now, they probably, I mean, I love our choir, but I would love to hear an angelic choir singing. And they were singing something. The first theme, the first thing that they sang was glory to God in the highest. These were praising God for what he is doing. The angels knew what was going on. Man, there's a bunch of sinners down here. I don't understand why they keep on sinning and rebelling against God. But now God is sending them a Savior, and they praised God. Glory to God in the highest. And they gave that glory. You know, the angels were around at creation, and they sang praises to God at the beginning of creation, and now they're singing praises to God at the beginning of the new creation, when God changes people's heart. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is to bring glory of God, and God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple. We talked about the Shekinah glory, as it was seen several times in the Old Testament. One time it dwelt in the temple, and then something happened. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 21 to 22, it says this, "Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, 'The glory has departed from Israel,' because the ark of God had been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, 'The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured.'" We find that God's Shekinah glory departed there in the Old Testament in that incident. But now the glory of God is coming back down and announcing with these shepherds the glory is returned, because that's what Jesus did in John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory," because God's glory dwelled in the person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, the angel says glory to God as they're singing that, and I don't know if the Handel's Messiah would be similar to that, but they must have been better. They sang something else, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Now, a lot of times we think, well, that didn't work very well. Look at all the war around here. There's no peace on this earth. We got war in Israel. We got war in Palestine. We got war in Ukraine. And there's always some other kind of nation at war. There's no real peace on earth. Let me interpret exactly what this verse is saying. I need you to listen as I read the Christian Standard Bible translation of Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors. The ESV says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God's peace is not just spread over the earth, it's given to those who are recipients of God's goodwill. Peace resides in the heart of those God has favored, those who've chosen to believe in God's Son. That's where the peace is. It's not just spread over the earth. One day it will be when Jesus Christ comes again, when the Prince of Peace is ruling on this earth literally, then there will be peace on earth. And when heaven happens, it'll be peace on earth. But the peace now, in the middle of all of the turmoil that is in this world, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ can have that peace that passes all understanding. The Jewish word shalom, peace, means much more than truce in the battles of life. It means well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, completeness. It has to do with more what's inside than what's happening outside of our life. Life was difficult at that time just as it is today. Taxes were high, unemployment was high, morals were slipping lower, and the military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's heart. Then God sent his Son, and we can have peace inside. That's what we need, peace in our heart. Well, those shepherds experienced an angelic announcement, but they also made a personal investigation, verses 15 and 16. Notice what it says there. It was that the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Let's go and see. They were aware that the Lord had revealed this to them, and they just had to check it out for themselves. Unlike the scholars that were 5 miles away from Bethlehem and didn't even bother to go and see the king that was born, the shepherd says, let's go and see. And they found him, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. You ought to make sure you put a comma there, because a lot of times if you read it just like this, Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, all three of them wouldn't fit in the manger there. I thank the Lord for commas, you know. They found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe who was lying in the manger. Boy, I tell you, what a challenge. What a challenge for us today. Hear the message and respond. Hurry and discover for yourself the truth that God is making known to you. My friend, if you're here and you've never receive Christ as your Savior, you need to go see. You need to discover the truth that Jesus Christ loves you and that he died on the cross to pay for your sin. Discover, make haste, because it's a great message. It can give you peace that this world cannot give you. You need to discover for yourself. But also, my friend, I think even though you know him, you need to know him more and more and more and discover for yourself the glorious truths of Scripture. Brother Steve's been teaching in Ephesians for a little while. I hear that snicker. Ephesians 3, verse 18 and 19 says this, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We as God's people need to do our own seeking of the Lord and to discover more and more of all of His love. The shepherds witnessed and listened to an angelic announcement. They also made a personal investigation. But notice also the shepherds shared a public proclamation. Verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, it says, "Now when they had seen him, they experienced the truth for themselves with their own eyes." Not just someone that an angel told them. This. They saw the baby. They saw Mary and Joseph. They saw the very King of Kings, the Savior of the world. But what did they do after they experienced the truth? They shared the truth. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Did their story end there? No. Even after the shepherds went home and the wise men went back to their own country, the message still kept going out. 33 years later, when Jesus died and rose again, the church took the message of the Savior to the whole world. They turned the world upside down with that message. They had a great commission. And those rugged shepherds were the first to share the truth. You know, that's our job today. They share the truth of God. We here at Peace River need to do that. That's our duty, to share the gospel. Share the gospel and let God work in hearts. We need to do that every time we get an opportunity. We need to do that. But notice the impact of that truth on others in verse 18. "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Wow, that's something. That's something that impacted their lives. The road to Bethlehem was busy for the shepherds. They experienced an angelic announcement. They made a personal investigation. They shared a public proclamation. But also, we notice finally that they returned with praise-filled reflections. Verse 20. Notice what it says. "Then the shepherds return." Where did they return? Well, they had some sheep that they had to... I don't know if they left it with a kid or somebody else out there. I mean, you can't leave sheep very long if they're out there without being penned up. But they went and they seen... They had to go back home. They had to go back to their job. They went back. But they were changed. They reflected on the glorious experience. Verse 20, "Then the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." It affected their lives. It changed them forever. I can imagine these shepherds telling their neighbor shepherds and their children and their grandchildren. And they couldn't put it on TikTok or YouTube. They just had to do word of mouth. And they told that story for generation after generation. "Hey, great-grandpa was one of the shepherds out there in Bethlehem." And they kept on telling the story. Well, you and I have been on the road to Bethlehem for these past 3 Sundays. We've traveled with Joseph and Mary on the road to Bethlehem and discovered the miracle to experience. The miracle of the virgin birth, but the greatest miracle, God became man and dwelt among us. We also traveled with the wise men on the road to Bethlehem. They discovered a monarch, a king to worship. They found him and they worshiped him. But the shepherds on the road to Bethlehem had a message to proclaim. And they spread everywhere the message of the newborn king. There is a gospel song. I think we sang a little bit of it even today, but we usually sing it every Christmas season. It's called "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. During the dark and shameful period of slavery in our country, unknown African American slaves, a largely uneducated people, often humiliated and cruelly treated, longed for freedom. In spite of their plight, God seemed to inspire them to produce some songs of incredible majesty and haunting beauty. Many of them could neither read nor write, but their songs were preserved only in the oral tradition from the fields to small slave churches and eventually to white churches and concert halls. But many of these songs have been saved because of the devotion of a guy by the name of John Wesley Work, an African-American church choir director in Nashville, Tennessee. The song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain," is one of those slave songs, and it captures the feeling of an unknown slave from whose heart these words sprang. Probably unable to read the Bible, this anonymous poet imagined the reaction of the shepherds as the great light from heaven shone around them. Little did the slave know that this song, expressing the wonder of his own soul, would eventually touch the hearts of millions of people. Every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ has the responsibility to go tell it on the mountain. None of us are exempt. Our mountain may be our neighbor next door. Our mountain may be the coworker that you have at your business, or the workers that you have come into your home to fix something. Or your mountain may be your own family. Like the shepherds, we have a message to proclaim on the road to Bethlehem, so we must go tell it on our mountain. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of looking again at this same old story, nothing new. But the message is still so prevalent today. Lord, there's still people that haven't heard the good news that a Savior has been born. They don't have that peace in their heart. They don't have Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. God, I pray that we here at church would do our very best to tell it on the mountain. I pray that we would do our best to tell our friends and our family and our neighbors there is a Savior that can save your soul and take you to heaven when you die. I pray that, God, the good news of this would lift our spirits during this Christmas holiday. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together as we close our service.